You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hello? Hello? If you can hear me, I'm sending this message from the year 2038 to tell you one thing. Lily was right.
Want a better future for the planet? Then listen up. This is The Green Desk with Lily Peacock, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
Who is Ocean Agency and what is it?
Well, the Ocean Agency is a not-for-profit. We started back in 2010, and we're an agency that's really focused on ocean conservation. I, from an advertising background, and the team of the Ocean Agency comes from an advertising agency background, and we wanted to approach ocean conservation from a really sort of different perspective.
So you've brought that advertising experience into solving some problems in the ocean, such as coral bleaching.
Absolutely. So when I started the agency, I realised that communication was a major, major issue with the ocean. 99.9% of people don't dive. So they don't get to see a lot of the issues going on. So a lot of the other conservation organisations don't get the support they need. Ocean conservation has been very poorly funded, generally, from all sorts of areas. And it's partly because of this communication issue. So I thought if I pulled my advertising friends together and we approached partners like Google, we really could make quite a difference.
How did that come about? Like, how did you incorporate Google? And I know you've got UNESCO as one of your founders as well. The National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration have all got involved in the Ocean Agency. What are their roles?
Initially, we thought, well, what's the first thing that we could do? And the logical thing was to look at what Google was doing above water with Google Street View and said, well, could we do the same underwater? So reveal the oceans to the world. And so we approached Google and designed the cameras to be able to do that. And that actually led into a much bigger project, which was science-based. As soon as we developed the cameras, we realized this could revolutionize the study of, for example, coral reefs. And so we worked with Professor Ove Gilberg at the University of Queensland and developed what has become arguably the most comprehensive global survey of coral reefs that's ever been conducted.
When was that conducted?
Well, we started off in 2012. With the Great Barrier Reef. And then that went on to the Caribbean. We did 13 countries in the Caribbean. We then went on to the epicenter of coral reef biodiversity, which is the Coral Triangle, so areas like Philippines, Indonesia. And then we've been focusing on the Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. So that's been running since 2012. And for the last 2.5 years, we've also been really focused on the coral bleaching event, which has been happening globally.
And what is the significance of coral bleaching for the oceans?
Well, a lot of people don't realise that 93% of climate change heat is absorbed by the ocean. So climate change is arguably a lot more advanced in the ocean, and you're seeing these massive impacts on especially coral reefs. We've had a massive mortality event that's been stretching around the world. There's been a lot of reports about it impacting last year on the Great Barrier Reef, where we lost 22% of the corals. And it's again hitting the Great Barrier Reef this year. And this is due to that heat that's been absorbed by the ocean, and corals are no longer able to cope with what are normal peaks in temperature. And it takes them over their threshold, and they are dying en masse.
Now, corals are made out of a calcium carbonate, right? They use an exoskeleton, and then they occupy that, and that's what gives them their beautiful structure. So what happens when you add ocean acidification, which is like, you know, the evil sister of global warming, into that equation?
Well, we've got two issues that come from global warming, like you say. So the first is corals grow a plants like algae in their flesh, which is how they get their food. And what happens when the temperature goes up too much or the temperature drops too much? You get something called bleaching, and that's when the coral actually has to expel this plant, and it goes into a starvation mode. And if the situation doesn't recover quickly, the coral will die. And the reason why it's called bleaching is because the coral animal actually turns clear, and you can see that skeleton inside. Now, there's the twin of the warming, which is the ocean acidification, and that really is also impacting a coral's ability to grow and to create this skeleton. We're having a two issues, but the main issue at the moment really is the heat that is killing the corals. Ocean acidification is a secondary problem that is down the track.
Are there any solutions out there at the moment that can help alleviate this situation?
Well, the big solution is just sticking to the climate agreement agreed in Paris by, I think it was 198 nations. If we stick to that agreement of limiting global warming to under 2 degrees and with a target of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, we will save coral reefs. Well, we will save some coral reefs. If we don't hit that target, and no major country is on target to hit that target, we will lose coral reefs entirely, and that's the big issue that we're facing at the moment.
What about coral farming? There's some successes in California with some companies like Coral Vita being able to grow some corals and even select for more temperature resistance. Is there hope with reseeding with those?
It is. There is a bit of hope with those kind of projects, and they're very, very important because when we stabilise the system, that's when that knowledge will really be key to help reefs bounce back from the situation that really 20 to 30 years down the track, which is about the earliest we'll be able to stabilise those temperatures, that's when that knowledge will be really, really useful. At the moment, I feel it's a little bit like planting a nursery during a forest fire. You're likely to lose those corals. And a lot of the locations that we are working in with these kind of coral restoration projects might not be the least vulnerable areas. So you could find a coral restoration project is in an area that is highly vulnerable and is likely to be lost sort of regardless of that activity. So the critical thing is for us to stabilise the temperature, and then we can go to work in restorating coral reefs sort of globally.
Right. So the solution to stabilising the ocean temperatures is global cooperation and making sure that we hit that Paris Agreement target. So that's global governmental cooperation, but is that also people just being more aware of the problem and how they can contribute or reduce contributions, or what are some of the solutions that maybe we can all sort of incorporate into our own lives, if any?
Yes, I think everyone can really contribute, but the key level for me is at city levels and at state levels and also even company levels, where there needs to be this commitment to getting carbon emissions down to what's known as net zero. So you are not emitting any carbon, or you're offsetting the carbon that's being emitted. And that's really key to meeting the targets of the Paris Agreement. And we need to be doing that very, very rapidly to be able to hit those targets. For me, it's to make sure we are really, really focused on urgent climate action, which is the only way we're going to save coral reefs. The second part of this is we need urgent sort of marine protection around the coral reefs, which are least vulnerable to climate change, and also those reefs which are most likely to be able to reseed other reefs. And that's a project that we've got called 50 Reefs, where we're identifying those top 50 sites around the world, the reefs around the world, where we can really focus additional conservation efforts and make sure we protect those particular reefs from some of the other issues that they're facing. So pollution, overfishing, which have made us lose coral reefs all around the world over the last 30 years.
I mean, is that complete marine protection? So no fishing, no sort of recreational access or limited recreational access and so on and so forth, so that the ecosystem itself is entirely protected, or is it partial marine protection, do you think?
We're looking into the right processes. So we've got scientists looking to identify the right reefs. They're also looking into what is the best science that we can be conducting to monitor the health of those reefs. And then we've also got the conservation organisations looking into what are the best strategies for each one of these regions. And it's very difficult to say we definitely need complete protection for these reefs, because often these reefs sustain a lot of people. Something like 500 million people around the planet rely on coral reefs.
Yeah, I read one figure that said $30 billion annually comes off the coral reef ecosystems.
Yeah, and that is probably a very conservative estimate. We're off to see some communities over in Palau that rely heavily on their coral reefs, but it's about the sustainable use of those coral reefs and making sure they're not overfished and they're fished in a way that allows that reef to sort of maintain its health. So there's normally sort of a certain amount of zoning that's required and a real pragmatic approach to conservation.
And is that coming from a government, like a national government level or city level for those marine conservation areas?
Well, often you find you need to work with both the certainly national government and also at a local level. So you do need that community buy-in.
Right, so that community support and interest in the project itself.
Yes. For me, this is a very interesting time because the situation has got so dire with coral reefs that we have now got an amazing amount of support coming in from lots of different directions, not just philanthropic support from the likes of Bloomberg Philanthropies, Tiffany & Co. Foundation, and also the Paul G. Allen Foundation, but also companies which are sort of coming together and offering their support for this project so that we can really move at the speed that we need to be able to save coral reefs.
Thank you, Richard.
That was the Green Desk, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.